Good evening, America.
You better put that down for me, though.
Yes. Happy Halloween, and welcome to the roast of Rita Mukherjee. I am your host, Alar High Definition Television, and you will now be subjected to 45 minutes of meat slowly roasting in an oven, along with a series of loosely connected anecdotes that seek to explain how and for what dark cosmic purpose Rita and I have become friends. Our story begins, as many do, with both of us in light drag. Sindhu hosted a party, and the theme was mimesis, which is to say that every guest was assigned another guest's identity and had to attend the party in character as the other person, which is such a great concept that really shouldn't have worked, but it did, due to some freak social alchemy. I was Laurel Lakra, with a bright lip, serving specialty craft cocktails,
yes, honey.
And a servant with
yes,
Rita was Christopher Jensen, a vision in plaid and skinny jeans, pronouncing judgment on the surrounding debauchery with far too much vigor. We'd only interacted a couple times to that point, but I, a narcissist, saw something familiar in her. Something very much like myself, and yet, nothing like me. A funhouse mirror of the ego. I bestowed on her my signature purple hoodie, and we spent the evening drinking whiskey with CJ Hauser in Cindy's kitchen, and avoiding a mysterious floating dildo being passed around by the other guests. That's true. At some point, everyone was invited to brunch. No one's sure how that happened. And after that, Rita and I were the fiercest of friends. And believe me, sometimes I don't get it either. Some of you probably thought when I got up here, wait, they're friends? They know each other? Or maybe you've heard the truly bizarre rumor that we're lovers, which, like...
It's true!
The most sexual thing that's ever transpired between us was the time I smelled her foot.
No!
While listening to Rachmaninoff after Thanksgiving dinner.
Woo! A tradition!
An act so apparently intimate that a nearby Tom Tooley blushed into his skin. Our friendship is so much more complex than American society typically allows between platonic intimates. We once spent an afternoon in Austin, Texas watching Ghost Adventures on the Travel Channel for 4 hours, and we were, for once, completely sober. Another time, we pre-ordered special edition cookie dough while a woman on YouTube called us her beloveds. Another time, we flawlessly wrapped a bunch of Nicki Minaj verses on the way home from the beach, and I introduced her to the psychosexual semiotic labyrinth of What's Your Fantasy Remix, featuring Trina, Shauna, and Foxy Brown. But the interaction most emblematic of our very special friendship is the time that Rita threw up and passed out in her parking lot. And when she woke up hours later in my car in the middle of nowhere, Georgia, Sufjan Stevens streaming softly from the speakers, she just barely managed to lift her head and whimper, "Did I die?" "Yes," I told her. "I'm the Lord." "Good," she said. "That's nice." Rita Mukherjee is a PhD candidate and Kingsbury Fellow at the Florida State University. She's an example of somebody who's done an amazing job and is being recognized more and more, I've noticed. Her critical work deals with gender and food studies in contemporary Caribbean literature, and her creative work deals with just about everything else. Please welcome Rita Mukherjee.
Thank you so much. That was wonderful. How are we, Brown? This is my first reading here at our beloved Tallahassee warehouse, and I'm so excited to be here, and I hope you enjoy these poems. So, happy Halloween, Samhain, from my witches. Do I have queer people in the house tonight? Just curious. This poem is for you. This is called Omen. Your cracking cemeteries are miles of wasted earth, puckered and heaving. You picture a necro-orgy, the writhing mass just beneath the surface, but we never built a city beneath the ground. You call this cunt, witch, sodomite, devil, dyke, threw stones, broke bottles, and filled your prisons, and dug a ditch. You got too thin, and you turned away each time bones cleaved skin, and your ghost factory grew exponentially. But I see it all, a demon protected by the Indian Ocean. I am as sweet and unmistakable as Sirius and Jasmine floating in the night, a witch who was not here for you to burn. You did not prepare for this anomaly. I have learned the ghost language, but I walk with the living, and I thrive on your sins, and you worried because you had felt it before, the irresistible horror of someone watching you. You're running out of places to hide. Our ghosts left paintings, songs, dances, books that you cannot read. We have found so many of them, and slowly the reckoning for the cruel begins. So, those of you who know me know that I have a lot of diatribes and tirades.
What?
Some of my students are here tonight. What's good? Where are my students at? I talk about yoga a lot. Yoga makes me. And so this poem is called Shavasana. This is your time, your practice, your message. Earth, mother, power, lover. You want another tattoo, one for women. Remind yourself to look up Sanskrit words and honor each sunlit space with truth and purity. Tell us all about them with your deepest breath out. Know that I brand you smiling thief, most wicked colonizer. Given the chance, you'd suck blood red henna from my hands and wipe your mouth on my hair. Star, mandala, unalum, chain maker, butcher of language, burglar of Vedas, harbinger of plagues, death caller. I wish you discomfort, a cramp in the loveliest part of your cap. So, tell me if you've ever had a best friend that was kind of better looking than you.
Yeah.
Never mind. This is my problem. Poem is called Original. I used to hold very still to see if there was a way I could look like her when my hand was a dark, angular spider in her hair. I finished braiding and she turned. Even with a twisted face, teeth bared, half-speaking, she was lovely and barren like a problem. That her freckles were immaculate, and even my mother noticed her deliberately clumped mascara. Just about anyone would have been happy to die in that hair. Even now I'm thinking of her, us kissing, always her idea. She told me my mouth tasted like peaches, and because it was not true, and because her father had seen us glowing like maenads in the jacuzzi, said nothing, I felt, perhaps for the first time, bashful. And bashful means weakness, which is why I took her hand-me-downs, mostly unworn, took her boyfriend when they had a fight and didn't tell her how fast he finished in my living room, took the city of New York before she could get there, but none of you could touch that French braid. So I am lying awake in Florida, hoping I never and always see her again. Thank you. Same. Honestly. This is a poem about sex on a roof. It's called In Heat. Fire escapes are grotesque and impossible, a building wearing its spine on the outside, crystal, grime, vertebral column with tiny figures on top, posed for flight. You were distracted by a glittering, oily stain while searching for rooftop sex with someone equally young and almost insane, who prefers the taste of lip balm and blow to gum or toothpaste. With seven rifts opening to sweeter hells, you fingertip the ridge of concrete, and then the sudden warmth of saliva on teeth pulls you forward, because no one fell. Everyone sweats most good this high up. The cruel press of sun on shoulders brings out a stratospheric sheen, the only reason anyone would come downstairs, skinless elbows and knees sticking to your clothes. With everyone pressed for cigarettes and wine, you ooze through the window. It's really interesting writing on Halloween because I see a lot of people I know, but I also see Jess Cohen versus the donut.
Sexy donut,
excuse me. I don't like to hail people incorrectly. This poem is called Umbrella Girl, Diamond Street. I'm really interested in race relations and we're living in Trump's America. Oh. Not my president. So I'm really interested in how we can break up amalgamations of peoples, such as the category of Asian, which puts me and other reader Dorothy Chan in the same racial category, which I think we can all agree is inaccurate at best. So, this is Umbrella Girl on the street. Lightest of the cousins, her family smiles at New Year's, red envelope, white hand, a crow's foot, and dark circles from reading, and sun-chapped lips, but no brown on her cheeks. The umbrella kept her clean. Because brown would be great-grandparents knee-deep in field muck. Brown would be butchering chickens on wood slabs. Brown would be the relocation of consonants. Cha and chai both mean tea. Brown reminds you, be a white Asian, be a Twinkie, a coconut, a rice ball, a zebra cake, banana pudding, IT, apple queen, savvy engineer, Asian it girl, big apple, tri-state, but don't you try her father. Spelling bee, Princeton bound review, dermatologists do better with headshots, smirking down, ancestral family shrine, aren't you so proud of me? Incense poise, a pen at the reception desk, write your English name. Not your family name. Excusing yourself from mixing with jungle Asians, sand Asians, mud Asians, sweet and sour, soft Asians, Sesame Street. All of us who can't umbrella duck our way out of the side comments, model minority, takes a long way home to buy rose water and lemon, skips the fish market, smell will linger. Chris and I have traveled a good bit, and we went to Austin for my friend Colleen and Anthony's wedding. They're here tonight. Bad things happened to me when I tried to get on the airplane. Such is the way of being brown. This is love letters from TSA. Unzipping my suitcase, I see fine brown grains dotting my dress's leaves. Not autumnal, but Darjeeling, scattered obscenely. I am already sure of the crisp, white, slip, medallion, blue, and gold, a promise just for me, forever me. Welcome back. We saw you leave. We didn't forget you. As long as you're moving, we will always be here. You can always count on fingers in your hair, a glove between your breasts. Your bag has been detained. Your bag was selected for inspection randomly. Cocktail dresses, tools spilling sheer pink from the zipper. Your bag has a ribbon. Swing it at the handle. A matching name tag, too many consonants. Your bag is full of tea now. We tore the tea bags you saved, the ones your mother made, gauzy pockets full of anything. We ripped them and dropped them back in so you'd know we were here. I'm really honored to share the stage tonight with someone who's super important to me, only as a friend, as a colleague, just in general. Dorothy Chan has really inspired me to start writing poetry again. Thank you, Dorothy, so much for inviting me to read with you. I'm so honored. I'm so in awe of your craft. So this poem is for you. This is called Jade Egg. Maybe I should give a bit of preference. So Gwyneth Paltrow has this blog called Goop, right? It's kind of a store, it's kind of a blog. And she puts on this blog, as I understand it, things that white, rich ladies might want to buy and do with their time. And a lot of them are fine and great. She's like, drink tea, it makes you feel better. And we're like, sure. But then there's some things where she was telling women to take these eggs that are carved from jade and to take them and insert them in their vaginas because they need to like purify their vaginas or something. I'm not sure. I'm not rich or white. I don't know what those concerns are as a set.
We love it.
Every gynecologist in the country was horrified. Jade is porous, can't be cleaned, so of the things you should put in your vagina, I'm no scientist, but I'm going to go ahead and say jade is. So now that you know all about jade eggs, this is jade egg for Dorothy. Because a strong pelvic floor is the cornerstone of real feminism. Ancient peoples of the East were drawn to the powers of jade along with calligraphy and stargazing. The concubines would gather in a circle before the emperor returned home, silk breasts into spine, squeezing jade eggs, chanting, try! 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 The results were immaculate, and the emperor was pleased. They used moonlight to purify the jade, and so should you. A jade egg intensifies feminine wiles. Inserting one heightens sensuality and makes you more alluring. Don't be surprised if someone stops you on the street, compliments your hair, then your shoes. You deserve these praises, and you will begin to celebrate yourself in a yonic way. Because otherwise, white women use their vaginas as psychic trash bins. Deep doors close over old magazines and spilled wine. And if you are careless, if you do not cleanse, you and your womb will become a center of karmic residue, bad juju, and blocked chi. A headstone between your legs will read, well, we tried. Drop your jade egg in boiling water and breathe in the scalding steam. Dry the egg and light candles, lie on your back. Press the egg into yourself. Don't be discouraged if it falls when you stand, but watch your toes. Jade is heavy. Practice once a day. Don't forget to rest. And soon the egg, milky and verdant, will begin to recognize your insides. The egg will become infused with your scent. It will glow with the power of the savvy concubines chanting, try! 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 And one day, you will be able to hold the tiniest of jade eggs with your firm and capable pelvic walls, finally living your best life, blessed with access to the jade egg ceremony deep in the California redwoods. You'll silently enter a grove dressed in cream lace, and lying and starry moss surrounded by other white women. You will listen to the trill of the wren, and when the moment is right, legs swayed in the sun, beckoning labia pink and gloss, chanting, try, try, try. You will all find unity in the tiniest shape egg. And beaming, you will emerge with a new body, unbound to the leeches and the kelp tape and the green juice, arriving at last at the new order of woman. Thanks, y'all are really kind. Two more. So, despite living in Trump's America, have I said that? it occurred to me a few years ago that it became trendy to do gay things, but not to be gay. So this is a poem about kind of reckoning with that punctually, especially because of this poem and the last one of this song. Okay, well, I'm saying, you didn't go, that's going to be catastrophic. Cool. So, this poem is called Mouthful. I will now take a moment to address the misuse of the phrase throwing shade. As in, did you see? She rolls her eyes. Why is she throwing so much shade? At first I thought this a mistake, since let's be honest, you only watched Paris is Burning once freshman year. Skip the long scenes of Dorian Corey doing her eyeliner, you skip the sad parts about the murder of Venus Extravaganza, you surge ahead to feast your eyes on black market plastic surgery, back alley hormone treatments, ice cream, gold coins on both cheeks, bloated nipples, inquisitive pupils, mirroring your gaze. But I need you to know that shade is not a Real Housewives catchphrase, not a Beyoncé meme. It has nothing to do with the function of an umbrella. And don't bother looking for it, because you can't find shade in Hollywood, or Portland, or Tallahassee, because shade is foreign to you. Shade is an underground bar in East Harlem, and a dive in Brooklyn, and a smoky lounge, West Village, air thick with exhaust and catcalls. You force your way in, we all notice your mouth on a syrupy drink, we watch you pack queer culture tightly into your center. You think you're blending, having fun, shouting things like, yas, work, slay. I'm here to say you're doing it wrong. Let me show you with a few simple questions like, oh my god, is your flower crown organic? Was Zumba the first time you heard reggaeton? Do you love us queers as much as CrossFit? And is your French manicure ironic? You say you don't have a problem with the gay lifestyle. Assless chaps, softball leagues, share karaoke tributes, mat counters, double ended dildos, and Home Depot, and wedding planning. Your arms should hurt. You cherry picked all of our glitter for your mouth. I guess you are good at multitasking. When you are done with brunch, I hand you a card. You smile and thank me, not knowing it says, you're not welcome here. Thank you. Last poem. This poem I wrote for Molly. That's my girl. That's the homie here at Florida State University. one time for Molly, Robin. Molly's gross. So Molly and I don't have a ton in common despite being really close. We can't watch a lot of shows together.
It's too scary.
She doesn't like the horror genre. Pretty much all I like. But she likes the 80s aesthetic, and she's a person that's very dear to me and has helped me through a lot of bad things this year. And so this final poem is called Rewrite, so it's just for Molly. In 80s movies, can all three things, straight teeth, blue jeans, and a suspiciously brief love scene. I'm not complaining about teary eyes or kisses on the forehead or outfits that come off in one piece or all the breathing loudly. It's just that in these films, women are coming from penetration, or they're really happy just making out on a car. Both are confusing. I like to yank Sandy and Danny from the carnival and let Sandy ditch the spandex, get some summer loving with a finger blast, because shimmying on a teeter totter never got anybody off.
Maybe.
And pants that tight can give you an infection. And Baby will put herself in the corner for a nice backdoor exchange. Two hands, two walls, maybe give Johnny's arms a break. But really, who cares about Johnny or Danny? I think Sandy should stop Baby from across the floor at the resort and tell her, well, she happened to see me before. Baby will love her accent, and they'll feed each other watermelon and roll around in bed and kiss in the pool and leave the sweaty boys to their flaccid little games. Thank you.